praise team. Praise Ben for leading us. Oh, I love some of those Christmas songs. We don't sing them often enough. I wish we could sing them more. Silent night, holy night. I love that last part. Christ of all creation laid down his head. Can you imagine? Oh, I love Christmas. The mystery, the glory of Christmas told through the eyes of children tonight. I always love to see it from their perspective. And the next Sunday morning, our worship choir will be sharing several song, special music with us next Sunday morning. And the 22nd, we'll have a candlelight. This room will be full of candles. We'll sing Christmas carols together. So it's just going to be a wonderful Christmas season. I hope you'll bring somebody with you. Some folks are maybe willing to come at a Christmas time. They're not willing to come other times. So encourage someone to come and be your guest. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Matthew chapter 22? Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse number 2. And want to talk about this morning, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, to me it's one of the best parts of this verse. It's one of the best parts about the gospel. It's the one time that I feel like you can talk to somebody about the gospel and they cannot argue with you. Sometimes you seem to argue about certain things about the gospel, but sometimes there's this one word right here that you can't argue with. Now, if you take the Bible at face value, you can't argue with this one word. This verse we're looking at, for God so loved the world, the greatest God. Our amazing, awesome Creator, Creator God who came and His Son Jesus Christ as a baby. The greatest God, all-powerful, all-knowing, able to be everywhere at all times, Creator of the universe. The greatest God, for God so loved, the greatest love. We can't define the word love without using God in it, because God defines love. There is no greater love than this, and a man would lay down his life for his friends. And so we see this incredible love, for God so loved, what? The world, the whole world. While we've got a globe hung here, we're talking about this international missions emphasis at this time. For God so loved the entire world, all 7 billion plus people on planet Earth. God loves the world. How does God so love the world? That He gave. Jesus was the greatest giver. The greatest giver of all of mankind. Why is that? Because He gave the greatest gift. The gift of His only Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, our salvation. He sets us free. He supplies all of our needs. And we all talked about last week, what do we do with this greatest gift? We ask ourselves this question. We accept it, we reject it, and then hopefully we share it. We then come to this word, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now this part, let's say it together, that whosoever, I said it slowly, some of you are just now waking up, and waking up this night. Let's make sure you're awake. Let's say it together, that whosoever. Now, look at your neighbor and tell them, you are whosoever. Tell them, go ahead and tell them so they know, you are whosoever. You are. Now we stop and think of this for a minute, but you hear people say, well, but that doesn't include me, right? That doesn't include me. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten maybe slighted from something you wanted to go to. You didn't get an invitation. Somebody else got an invitation. Maybe when you were a child, you didn't get invited to that birthday party. Maybe it was some fancy event that you wanted to get to go to, and you didn't get the invitation. Well, I have to say, one of the most important invitations I think I've ever sent out in my life, and you agonize over it and what it's going to look like and where it goes out, and my in-laws are here this morning, so it's certainly appropriate. We agonized over that, and we got this perfect wedding invitation, right? Get this wedding invitation. On the front, wasn't it like marry my best friend? I meant to bring it this morning, put it on the screen, because you only show the invitation one time, then it goes in a book somewhere, right? So I was going to show it to you so you could enjoy it. And so this wedding invitation, we invited just a few people. Yeah, my father-in-law loves to remind me of this. We had about 1,200 people at our wedding. Praise the Lord. And in our reception after that, my father-in-law reminds me constantly how much it cost when they stopped counting at like 650, and they felt sorry for us. And I said, thanks. I'll be repaying him until Jesus returns. But anyway, but I married your daughter, though. That's right. I gave grandchildren, so that took care of it all. That's right. That's right, didn't it? Absolutely. Now I'm giving a granddaughter, so I'm really good in the wheel now. But anyway, so we see this idea of an invitation, right? So we get this invitation, we lick it, we mail it out to everybody, right? And so it's this huge invitation. Now, at the end of the day, though, when you get an invitation, for the brief moment, you look at it and you might think, like all this time of year, we're all getting out Christmas cards, right? You look at the Christmas card, you think, oh, that's so sweet, that's so great. And what do you do with that Christmas card eventually? Don't tell anybody if they sent you one. What do you do with it? Be honest. right? Now, my mom, she saved everyone for the last 20 years now, right? So we're like, Mom, why are you saving those from 20 years ago? I might want to go back and look at some. When? I mean, you look at it one time, it's great, right? So we get those, we get an invitation. How long do you look at it? You look, oh, wow, this design, I just saved this design. You look at the invitation, not what it looks like really. You're looking for what's in the invitation. The event, the opportunity, something that you are being invited to attend. Whether it's plain or fancy writing, whether it's new or it's old, it's really what you're being invited to. And this morning I wanted us to stop and think about the greatest invitation that has ever been given of all times. One that is offered to you and me. In fact, we'll discover what makes it the greatest invitation as it is offered to everyone everywhere. For God so loved the world. Though the invitation is not pretty, though it is beautiful, it is plain and simple, yet amazingly infinite and complex. It is pure and clean invitation, yet it is dirty and bloody. All of these things at the same time. This great invitation. And we find, if you were to find images on this invitation, you would find perhaps these three images. An image of the manger, which we are about to celebrate and remember. Christ becoming flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. We want to know what God was like. We know what God is like. Jesus came in a manger. What a beautiful picture of God's incredible love and of His invitation. That's why He didn't come as a king. He came as a baby so nobody could say, well, I'm not worthy. The invitation's for somebody else. I'm not included in the whosoever. Because I'm not part of the group, the in crowd, the whatever it might we might want to say. It would have a picture of the manger. It would have a picture in my mind of the crown of thorns. The mocking of the King of Kings. And perhaps you've all seen those images of the manger and the cross and the crown of thorns there in the manger. And then behind that is a shadow cast, that of a cross. For we always celebrate Christmas with the mindset and reminding ourselves that the cross was soon to follow. Though we had to have the incarnation of Christ, but without the cross and the resurrection, it all is pointless. The invitation is offered today that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I love preaching this message. Good news, you are part of the whosoever. Now let me just tell you this much. You don't deserve to be a part of the whosoever. I don't deserve to be a part of the whosoever. I've done nothing to qualify myself to be part of the whosoever. The good news is I don't have to. Matter of fact, here's the incredible news. I can't. My question to you is this morning. Have you responded to that invitation? Let's stand together. Would you please? Let's read this invitation. One of the many invitations Jesus offers. This is inviting to the marriage feast, but this marriage feast is symbolic of the invitation of salvation. Listen to what it says in verse number 1. I'll catch up in verse number 2. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again a parable saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast to his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. And again he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready to come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed the murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore, where? To the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes and said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding clothes? And he was speechless. The king said to his servant, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness in the place there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's another opportunity where he talked about this same story. there in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse number 16. Would you flip over there for just a moment? I want to read you the same invitation, very similar story. If you flip over there, let me read this one to you, and then we'll pray together. Chapter 14, verse number 16 of Luke's gospel. He says this, but he said to him, a certain man was giving a big dinner and invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who've been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've bought five oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife and for this reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of his household became angry and said to his slaves, go out once into the streets, the lanes of the city, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has been done. There is still more room. And the master said to his slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. He's talking about the Jewish people. The invitation was sent and they rejected him. And so he says, go out everywhere and invite everyone. That includes the whole world. The greatest invitation. I have two questions for you to consider this morning. Number one, have you responded to the greatest invitation? And number two, are we as a church busy about extending the greatest invitation to the whole world? To the ends of the earth. And right here in our backyard. I'm so excited. The end of our service, God has put before us multiple opportunities to embrace and tell people about the greatest invitation. And the question is, will we, church, realize, as the song that we sang, He has done great things for us. What will we do in response? Father God, I pray this morning by the power of your word, this word would be true and it would ring true in the hearts and minds. And I know most of the people in this room, Lord, already understand the whosoever. So I pray, Lord, it would just fresh and anew, we would be reminded that we're part of the whosoever. And we would find great reminders of the joy of salvation and our hope that we found when we realized, I'm one of them. I'm one of the whosoever. Lord, I pray for the person this morning that is yet to understand and follow and say, I want to be part of the whosoever. I'm not going to put any more excuses out there. I'm going to come to Jesus just as I am and receive the greatest love from the greatest God today. Father, speak to our hearts, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me tell you a couple things about this invitation, then we'll talk about our response. I love this word. Let me tell you, the first thing there on your outline you'll find about this invitation, it is a whosoever kind of invitation. It is a whosoever kind of invitation. The word, the Greek word, is the word here, pas, which means every, the whole, all, or anyone. Now, again, I'm not very smart. I got my master's degree at seminary, which suppose I guess would make me somewhat smart, but I'm not that smart. I just kind of made my way through. I know this much, though. Are you ready for this? The word all literally in the Greek means, are you ready for this? This is deep. It literally means all. Is that good? It literally means everyone, whosoever. No one is excluded from the gospel invitation. The scope is not narrowed any. Not whatever Jew may believe, man may believe, nice person believes. The invitation is offered to those who are rich and poor, those who are good or evil, clean or dirty, American or Russian, Iraqi or Iranian, black or white, murderer or thief, businessman or farmer, one with great morals or no morals at all, the executive, the garbage man. It simply does not matter. God says, whosoever. The Jews of the day couldn't comprehend this because they thought the whosoever was only them. They had missed that God's message, though, was first for the Jew, then the Gentile. They forgot that God had blessed the Jewish nation to be a blessing to the world. That the gospel was to come through the Jews, but then to be spread beyond them. They would be a light. Isaiah talked about it in multiple places. That they would be a light to the Gentiles. Whosoever kind of invitation. And if we're not careful, dear church, we do the same things ourselves. We cross out words and say, well, they qualify, but they don't. They deserve it, but this people does not. we would say in our world, and this is the combining of being an American and protecting ourselves, but yet finding this idea, this Muslim culture for the people group we're going to prayerfully embrace today are those that they'll call cousins. That's a term they use on the mission field to describe those of a Muslim faith. And our culture would say to us, we need to kill and destroy those. The gospel says we should invite them to come. That Christ died for the jihadist terrorist. Only most of us, Hitler, there are a few of you who understand the scare of Hitler. Osama bin Laden rings true for most in the room. Listen, get this now. Jesus died for Osama bin Laden. Now, we don't like to hear that. We think, I get he dies for bad people, but Osama bin Laden, listen, can I just remind you that your sin and mine were no greater than Osama bin Laden's sins? It is a whosoever kind of invitation. How do you know that, preacher? Well, good night. Listen to all these words. Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Mark 3:35, whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. Mark 16:16-17, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 4:14, the invitation is given by Jesus. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 11:26, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Revelation 22:17, the end of the book of the Bible. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take freely the gift of the water of life. Romans 10:9-13, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, with the mouth a person confesses, resulting in righteousness and salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Ever been disappointed before? Has somebody ever disappointed you? A friend, a family member, your spouse, your child? Jesus says through the words of the Apostle Paul, whosoever comes and confesses me as Savior and Lord, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Now, it doesn't mean we won't be disappointed in this life. But we'll never be disappointed in Jesus. We'll never be disappointed in heaven. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Here it is. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the good news of Christmas. Whoever. Not only is it a whoever kind of invitation, the second one says it is a however kind of invitation. It is a however kind of invitation. I've met people who would say, well, okay, I get the fact that it's a whosoever, that anybody can come, but the however part, I hear people say to me, and I'll never forget, I moved back to Alabama and I met a young man who had been a teenager in my youth group, and he had now gotten married and had a child, and he had a problem. He was addicted to marijuana. He said, preacher, he said, listen, he said, I tell you what, I will come back to church when I get my life cleaned up. I'll get back and do what I need to do. I've met people, a lot of people in my life who have said, well, listen, I'll come to Christ when I get my life in order. And I just simply tell them, I've got great news for you. I don't mean to rain on your parade, but your excuse doesn't carry any weight. Because God never said in his gospel, come to me, all those who are clean and sober. Those who are perfect and religious. Those who have their act completely together and think they have no sin. For he said, come to me, however you are. There's a story told in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus tells this story because the Jew of the day thought the rich would automatically get into heaven. And he tells the parable of the story of Lazarus, who is trying to beg and eat off the crumbs, off the bread of the rich man's table. And as fate would have it, as Jesus tells the story, they both die. And in an instant, one is transported to heaven, the other to hell. And the one who had nothing, who found himself with nothing, the rich man in the lap of luxury, Lazarus discovers himself in the lap of Abraham. Folks, there is no need to clean your act up first, to climb up to where God is. We sing that great old hymn of invitation, just as I am, without one plea. Meaning what? We are to come to Jesus just as we are. It is a whosoever kind of invitation. It is a however kind of invitation. And thirdly, it is a whenever kind of invitation. It is for whenever you hear God's voice. When he welcomes you and you invite and he invites your response. I believe this with all my heart. That Jesus speaks every time we're together, not only when we're here, but when we're out in our daily lives. Jesus invites us to join him, whether we're children of God or not. He invites us to join him as his child, or if we are a child of God, he invites us to be in on his work. Good night, I got to tell you this story. I can't wait to the end of the service. Is that okay? Oh, I just got to tell you this story. Hold on. Is good. All right, so we need to be at work where God is at work, right? We know that God is at work everywhere. Would you agree with that statement? God is working all the time. Would you agree with that statement? Good, because if you don't, you're wrong, because he is, all right? And I just tell you that up front. That's what the Bible says. God is always at work all the time. I'm in my office. I'm talking to Connie Carpenter. I don't know if Connie's here. And I was talking to Connie Carpenter and Liz Berkey. They were decorating the beautiful Christmas tree out there. And we were talking. This guy comes in a shirt and a tie and a pickup truck. And he comes in and I looked like he had some business in his hand. So I assumed he's not coming to talk to me because I don't know squat. So he's coming to talk to Dee to talk about something. I don't know what it was. And so I said, do you need some help? I said, Dee's right there. He said, I'm just looking for the pastor. I said, well, that's me. I said, can you give me just a minute? I need to finish talking to my members here just a second, and I'll go in. So I go in and sit down. He says, listen, I need to tell you something. He said, I don't know why I stop at your church. I said, well, tell me why. Why did you stop? He said, well, I found a family that's got some needs in their life. And he said, huge needs. And I'll tell you the particulars later because time won't allow me to. But just have a huge need. They need to finish a house. The man that's of the house, it's the last 3 years, he's a double amputee, and in his wheelchair, he's been literally building this house, he and his wife together. Not asking for a handout, not asking for help, and this guy's a banker. He's a member at Temple Baptist Church in Hattiesburg. He begins to tell me this story, he begins to cry. He begins to weep. I was sitting in church last night, he said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're talking about Bible study, he said, I've got to help these people. I'm going to help these people. But God told me, I think, maybe it was just luck that I stopped by your church. So I said, Dee, I asked them the names. She told me the names. I said, Dee, look, who are these people? Do you know them? She said, I think they're members. That's where it gets good. So this guy, his secretary, used to be a member here a long time ago, and he had heard some things about Petal First Baptist, and so he didn't know. He said he heard some things. God had been doing some cool things, and that was great. He said, but he almost stopped by Calvary, but he didn't stop by Calvary. He stopped by Petal First Baptist. I don't know why he stopped by Petal First Baptist. Lo and behold, the people he wants to help are members of our church. They've just been disconnected for several years. So I want you to know that I volunteered you on their behalf. I didn't ask your permission. He said, do you think your church will help? I said, yes. I called this lady Friday. I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait for you to vote yes. So this is one of those fixed votes. If you don't vote yes, well, I'm going, all right? And I don't know how we'll get it done, but I'll help her Lord help her. Her house may fall in, but I'll help her. But anyway, so I called this lady. Her husband 2 weeks ago was in an automobile accident. He's a double paraplegic, a double amputee. He has a car wreck. Then he has a stroke the next day. So now he's paralyzed on the right side and he can't speak. And so I called this sweet lady yesterday on Friday. I said, I never met you before. I said, I'm the new pastor, Petal First Baptist. I said, I'm new. I've been here 19 months. I said, I know we've got a lot of folks that are on our roll. We don't know where they are. I said, I understand you're a member of our church. She said, we are, but we've just been disconnected for a long time. I said, I want to tell you something. I got some good news for you. I said, God has been answering your prayer. She said, how do you know? She began to weep. And I told her, this banker was going to find some money to lend. Temple Baptist, a couple of their folks want to help us. And I said, we're going to finish your house. God's brought into our church people who are, and I said, good news, it won't depend on me. I said, we got people that are builders and builders people and painter people and sheetrock people and people that can put in nails and I hold a ladder and watch and say that looks nice. And, you know, we got all these people. And I just smiled at this guy. I said, isn't it neat to watch God weave a tapestry to just answer this lady's prayer? Listen, it's a whenever. It is a whosoever. It's a however. It's a whenever. We seize the moments that God gives us, and we don't shun and go back from those moments. When someone said, well, they've been out of church a while. They're our church members. We have a responsibility to them. I don't care how long they've been out. In dear church, we have ISD. So then I got on a real tear then. Well, I got on a tear. I said, I want to know how many people are in our computer who we don't know where they are that have been there. She looked it up. We got 135 people. Well, January of 2014, we're going to let Christmas get by. We got a lot on our plate. Well, January 2014, just hang tight. We're going to go after those 135 people. So if you know who they are, just warn them. We're coming. People say, well, it can be too late. I mean, the time has already passed. Well, folks, if the time has already passed, and what happened on the cross in Matthew chapter 20, if what happened on the cross there with a thief on the cross who accepts Christ at the last moment, then don't ever tell me it's too late. The only time it is too late is when either Jesus Christ returns or you have drawn your last breath. Up until that moment with Jesus, it's the most incredible news of all. Not in Matthew chapter 20, the story tells of some servants who go out to work and they work different hours of the day, and Jesus, the guy who owns the servants, pays them all the same. And the guy who worked the whole day and the guy who worked the hour, the guy who worked the whole day was really ticked off. He was mad. How dare you pay that person 1 hour? And if we're not careful, we'll think the same thing. Well, I've served God all my life and they can just end with God at the last moment. Oh, thank God, yes, they can, and we ought to pray that they would. I'll never forget, I met a man. I think I may have told you a story a few weeks ago, so if I did, forgive me, my brain doesn't remember. I met a man, and his wife called me. His wife had been coming to church, and I'd never met her husband. He'd never come before. Wasn't a member of the church. She said, you've got to come to the hospital today. I said, I don't know if I can come today. She said, you've got to come today. The doctor told me he's not going to make it through the night, and I don't know if he's a believer. I said, you've been married to him how long? She said, a long time. She said, we just can't talk about spiritual things. I said, I'm on my way. I got in my car. I drove down to the hospital in Montgomery, Alabama, at Baptist South Hospital. I walked into the emergency room, into the ICU room, and she said, you need to talk to him. He's on a respirator. He can't talk. I walked into that room. I never met him, and I had prayed the whole way down. Lord, I need to know if this is of you, and I've heard about this, and I don't want to do this for me or for him or so I can have a really cool story to tell later on. I want this man to know he knows Jesus because he's not going to make it. I walked into that room, and that man sat, and I introduced myself to him, and I said, sir, I said, I've been asked to talk to you. I said, I know you don't know me, and I don't know you. I know your wife, and she's very concerned about you. I said, but would you mind me sharing with you the most important thing that you've ever, ever heard in your life? And he blinked. She said that he could blink, and so he blinks at me twice, two or three times. Yes. I shared the gospel with this man, and I got through, and I look, and tears streaming down his cheeks. And I said, dear sir, I don't know if they've told you how serious your condition is. And it pains me to tell you this. I said, but you are not going to make it the rest of this day. What are you going to do with Jesus? Do you want to ask Christ into your heart? He said, yes. He didn't say yes. He nodded. He blinked. I said, well, if you just pray with me this prayer. And I did the same thing I always do. Y'all remember these by now? I told him to, would you admit, good, that you are a sinner, to ask God to forgive you of all of your sins, to believe that Jesus is God's Son, to seek, confess Him as Savior, commit the life to Him as Lord. I opened His eyes, I opened mine, and I looked at Him. I said, did you say that prayer, and did you mean it? He blinked. About 12 hours later, He was gone. It is a whenever kind of invitation. And listen, for some of you, it could be your whenever is today. It is a wherever kind of invitation. Wherever you are in life, you are never too far away from God to come home. Never. The prodigal son, we talked about him a few weeks ago. Could there be somebody who could be any farther away in the picture of God from His presence and have wasted his life? And God's, and he says, I'll just come back as a slave. I don't even want to come back as a son. And praise God, He doesn't take us as a slave. He takes us as His adopted children. He tells the son, come in. My son that was once lost has now come home. It is a whosoever, a however, a whenever, and a wherever kind of invitation. The requirements of this invitation, just briefly, look very carefully. Number one, the God's invitation is universal, but it is not universalism. This is so very, very important. We were talked about this earlier, and we talked about that God so loved the world. This is very important because we're going to hear this more and more. Universalism, every road leads to God eventually, and eventually everybody gets to heaven. Let me be crystal clear as I can possibly be as pastor of this church. On God's authority, that is a lie from the pits of hell itself. There is one way, one road, one cross that leads to heaven. It is through our blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Through God's blessed Son, Jesus Christ. He said it Himself, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me. Oh, it is offered to all. But it is not universalism. Notice the second thing. God's invitation is available to all, but it is not automatic. It is not automatic. When I went to college, I learned this new thing. They called them a legacy. Fraternities and sororities have a thing, or maybe in a university they have it, call it a legacy. In other words, I had a mom or a dad or an aunt or a sister or a cousin who went to this university, this particular fraternity or sorority, and so therefore you are more likely to get in, or you are almost guaranteed a way to get in because you had a legacy above you. Let's be really clear. We have lots of people on our church roll and over the 16 million or 15 million now Southern Baptists. We know that on average, no less than half are in church in a year's time. We've got millions of people whose mamas and daddies and grandparents and aunts and uncles and sisters were a member of the church, so therefore I must be a member and therefore I must be a Christian by default. Folks, let us be clear. Doesn't matter how good you are, how many times you go to church, how much money you give, how many nice things you did for Jesus. If you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, you will not go to heaven. It's crystal clear. And notice the last thing as we're through this morning. God's invitation has a time limit. It has a time limit. You know, on those invitations, you have those wonderful words at the end, RSVP, right? It's French. I won't even try to pronounce it because I butcher it every time I try to pronounce it. Any of you speak French, you high schoolers, and you speak French? What does it mean? Who's good in French at school? What does it mean? You have no clue. Say it for me. Can you say it? You got that? I love that. I heard that on the airline one time going to India. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. You got it? That's what that RSVP thingy means. What does it mean? Be courteous enough to get on the phone and call somebody, tell them you're coming or you're not. We don't do that very well as a society anymore, do we? At the end of the invitation of John 3:16, there is an invitation. There is a response that is required. I would say to you, please respond. This respond does not mean respond only if you're coming. It does not mean respond only if you're not coming. What it means is that host needs a specific time and date so they can know who to count on. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are today, when it is. The invitation is extended, but here is the catch. We don't know when we're going to draw our last breath. The Bible is very clear. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It is here, and then it is gone. I could say to you some of the names of the charter members, and outside of about 6 or 8 of you, you would not even know who I'm talking about. They're wonderful, godly people. I've read about them. I've met some. I met one this morning. Our deacons went and served the Lord's Supper to our shut-ins this morning. What a wonderful ministry moment this morning. Some of you don't even know this lady and her husband, who's joined us, one of the 82, 65, almost 70 years ago now, 60-something years ago. Why? Because our life's a vapor. Our time will draw to an end. And the question is, have you responded? Will you respond? There is no status too low or too high, no hour too late or too soon, no place too far or close by. However, whenever, wherever, and whoever includes you forever. It simply comes down to this. What will your response be? And here are our responses. Number one, here it is. To give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today. Listen, I'm not asking you to join our church, though that's a part of the process. I'm not asking you to join our church. I'm asking you this one statement. Have you ever been a moment you can identify where you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, where one moment you were not a Christ follower, the next you were? Because you called the name of the Lord, you meant it, you believed it, and your life has never been the same. Not perfect, but never been the same. If you've not done that today, I want to encourage you to do that. Some of you have made a decision to follow Christ, but you never made it public. You've never been baptized. Tonight, we're going to baptize. We have Morgan Fulton is going to come right for our children's music, going to be baptized. Look, can I just offer you an invitation today? Is that all right? If you've never been baptized, I don't know if there's anybody in here or not, but maybe you've never been baptized. You follow Christ, but you've never been baptized. Can I invite you? You just come tonight, and we'll baptize you. How's that sound? Let me make it really simple and easy. Tonight. It's going to be raining probably, but come back tonight, and we will baptize you tonight. It's a whosoever kind of day, and a whenever kind of day. Maybe to invite others to receive this greatest invitation is your call as our church, to pray without ceasing, to give sacrificially, to go anywhere He calls so that others can hear around this world. Right here in Petal, we're going to talk about opportunities God has given us. I just gave you one. There's others. Not only that, but to the ends of the earth. This world, this vast world, 7 billion people, and yet God has seemingly narrowed this focus down to one people group. But there are billions who have yet to hear. But I want to tell you something. There has never been a greater hour ever than to share the gospel than right now. Watch closely.
There are times when I wake up in the middle of the night just disturbed, sometimes crying about the lostness of this world. Almost 1 billion of this world's 7 billion people are very likely to die without ever hearing the gospel in such a fashion that they can comprehend it and then respond to it. Of a blind person walking along and asking for help, and someone has taken them by the hand, and they fully suspect that they're taking them to safety, but instead they're taking them to death. Billions of people who, apart from Jesus Christ, will be alive 1 million billion years from now in the darkness. The world has a need for the gospel. And we are not doing what we can. In light of the world's greatest lostness, in light of the moment when we could get the gospel into the hearts and hands of people more easily than any other time in this earth, we are backing up. What a tragedy if what happened next would be that God would call us home and then ask us, what did you do? What did you do with what I gave you?
The problem, folks, is that we don't understand lostness. And at stake are the lives of billions of people. My prayer is that it would be said that there never had been a greater hour for missions. That there had never been a greater time. That we were those, pulled them back. And we said, yes, we're coming. And every person in this world ought to have a legitimate reason to believe that if they can just hang on a little longer, we will get there with the word. I pray you will join with me in one sacred effort to fulfill the Great Commission.
Would you pray this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, at the last part of your sermon outline this morning, there was a blank there that says, my response to the invitation is this. I'm just going to take just a brief moment because I've got things we need to do at the end of our service time together. For just a moment, would there be any in the room this morning to say, my response this morning is beyond a shadow of a doubt, I need to follow Christ, my Lord and Savior. I know that. God's speaking in my heart. I've never asked Jesus Christ in my heart. And I get it. Today is a whosoever kind of invitation. And it's like whenever, it's now. You say, preacher, would you just pray for me? I have the courage to come and say yes to Jesus. Or maybe you've got questions. You just raise your hand and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Would you just put your hand up, put it right back down? Nobody looking around but just me. I promise. We just want to pray for you. Anybody in the room, just a moment. Slip that hand up, put it right back down. I want to follow Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. Father, I pray this morning for this time of invitation. Lord, for any person, whether they raise their hand or not, would feel the call of God on their life to come and say yes to Jesus. Lord, for others, might be to say, you know what, I want to be a part of a church that is going to be serious, dead serious, committed, sacrificial, to go to the ends of the earth and in our own backyard to do whatever it takes to let this world know about this invitation. And it will let nothing stop us until we draw our last breath. That every breath we take will be to help fulfill this great commission. Father, maybe you want some to come and join this church family. Others need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need to go to Haiti next year. I need to go to Indonesia. I want to be a part of embracing this people group. I want to be a part of embracing Petal Primary. I want to help this family tangibly with my hands and my feet. Be the hands and feet of Jesus to help build a house. Whatever opportunity, Lord, would put before us, we'd be willing to say yes. Fits in God's vision and mission for our church. Father, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray you'd fill in the blank right now in obedience. To put it into with our feet, actions, with what you've done in our hearts privately. That's what an invitation is for. Maybe it's to go across this room and say, would you pray for me? I'm praying about doing this, or pray for me about that. Whatever it is, we'd be obedient right now to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's